So you're saying, I was just wondering, that left you sort of in the house?
Yeah, that was why my grandmother and I were so close, you know, because a lot of the time my mother wasn't even there during the end. When she was sick, you know, and so we coped.
Did you have any extra responsibilities or anything when both of them were in this position of needing to get around in wheelchairs?
Or? Well, nothing special. I suppose I ran errands and went to the store. I don't actually remember anything out of the ordinary, you know. Whatever it was just normal as far as I was concerned. I think I'm sure that she hired housework done during that time.
How many people were living in the house then?
Well, it was just my mother and my grandmother and I.
And how many bedrooms were there in the house?
Three.
So you had your own. So then when your mother was working, about how many hours a day would she spend down in the shop?
Well, of course it depended, and some of her work was seasonal, you know. But it'll be nothing for her to be working in the evening, you know, before she'd come home. I'm sure she spent more than 8 hours a day.
And she had other people
And lots of times I'd take her lunch down to her, you know, or, and when I'd come home from school, I'd stop in the store and see her and then go on home. And she had many other illnesses after that, but I know she had kidney stones, I remember, later on. And she just wasn't one to accept ill health very easily, you know. And she managed all of them. And then there were real serious things. I suppose this early illness had weakened her, so, you know, that it was, she was more prone to get things. But I remember she had ulcers, and for months, you know, she lived on ice cream, malted milk, that sort of thing. But by that time, she discovered another doctor up in Cleveland, and he was real famous, I guess, in that part of the country for treating ulcers. And I always remember her, she'd come home, she had this little wooden box about so big, and inside were all little glass vials of real icky-looking green stuff, you know. And she said that they were actual live, what she called them, germs. I don't know whether some kind of bacteria or what. Anyway, it was something live. And she had to take them, I can't remember now how many times a day, whether it was once a day or more than that. But anyway, I mean, she'd take this awful-looking stuff and cured her ulcers. The doctor told her, well, she'd probably never be able to eat apples or onions again, but she did. She just triumphed over more kinds of illness than anybody I ever knew.
How did in your growing up years, how did the two of you get along?
Oh, fine. So I look back, I can see that I must have had a lot of shortcomings, which I wasn't conscious of then. But my parents weren't nagging at me to try to make me over or anything. They accepted me as I was, and we were all perfectly happy. I look back now, I must have been incredibly stupid.
What makes you say that?
Oh. Well, measuring myself against kids nowadays, you know, and not in school. Schoolwork came easy to me. I didn't take to mathematics. I don't say I couldn't have done it if I tried. Like I say, I was really a lazy type, and I just never put myself out enough to learn it, you know, until I grew up and had to. And science, right, I knew that wasn't for me, so I just didn't take those subjects, you know. But the other things I enjoyed, in fact, I enjoyed school.
What subjects were your best subjects?
Oh, I liked English and history, sort of things like that. And they taught languages in our school. I had 2 years of Latin and 2 years of French was the language they taught then. I never got good at it, but I was good enough that I could get by, you know. I never took a book home. Never didn't have the piles of homework that we do now. They still, ours was a well-accredited school. Boys could go right from our school to Harvard or from different Ivy League schools back east. It was a good school.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I graduated in the upper third of my class, which was only 33 people. I was 11th.
Did you, when you were in school, did you plan? What were your ideas about what you would do?
Oh, I always intended to go to Cleveland Art School. That was my plan right from the beginning, and that was just, you know, sort of thing that I was all settled as far as I'm concerned, and I guess my mother planned for me to go there. There certainly was no secret that that's what I was thinking about, and. That's one reason that I took the subjects that I did in school. I figured I didn't need science and all those things. Took a regular college prep course, you know, and say that would be what I need to get in. And I probably would have gone, but we didn't have an art department. Our town was small enough that there weren't enough kids that were interested in art that they didn't even have any arts courses at all, and I think my life might have been very different if I had been able, you know, to have a start in it. So far, I was, you know, I just like to draw pictures. Certainly no preparation, and I graduated in 1927. Well, just about a little bit before that, why my mother started having a hard time in her business, as all the department stores and every place you could go and buy ready-made hats, and you know, the just wasn't any demand for them. Of course, she carried ready-made hats too, but she wasn't any longer the only place in town where you could buy them. You know, there was, and so her business just kind of petered out to where, and in 1927. Well, I guess it must have been the year before why she sold out her business. In fact, I don't know if she even was able to sell it, or whether, you know, she just quit. But anyway,
so what year was that?
1927 was the year I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to go to Cleveland. And she got a job working in a big department store. I remembered the name for a long time, but I can't remember it now. It wasn't like May Company or Halley's or something like that. It was, you know, another store in the millinery department. And she mostly was waiting on trade, or, you know, you'd buy a hat. Maybe you'd, back in those days you'd have little alterations to it, you know, and that was what she did. And it was really quite a come down for her. So at that time, my aunt Mamie and Uncle Harry and my cousin Irene moved into the house where we'd been. Well, it was our house. Mom had bought the house after we moved out of the other, the big house. And so they moved in there, and Graham stayed with them. So Mom and I, well, I stayed in Geneva until I graduated. She actually went up a few months before, and there wasn't really room for me in the house, so the people across the street had a bedroom, and Mama rented the bedroom for me from them, and I guess I ate with them most of it, Aunt Mamie and them. And it was, you know, kind of a makeshift thing until after I finished school. So then I went up to Cleveland, and Mom and I lived for a while with these friends that I mentioned before that we used to visit. And we just had a bedroom that we shared there. And I remember we there was a boarding house that was, several blocks walk from where we were living there. But we didn't take our meals at Jenny and Leon's. We just, we'd go up to the, well, I guess probably we ate we probably got our own breakfast in our kitchen, you know, but then for the evening meal, why, we walked up to this boarding house, and this woman had people just like we did that just come into her house and sat down to a big table, you know, and had, had our evening meal there. And in fact, that was where I met my husband. But when I went up to Cleveland, then I got a, I went to work for the telephone company, the Ohio Bell Telephone. Well, it took me a couple weeks or so, but, you know. But,
so when, this sounds like a really a big period of change.
Yeah, it was a big change.
How did you feel about moving to Cleveland?
Well, it was a big adventure as far as I was concerned. You know, it wasn't anything, as long as I had my mother, you know, it wasn't like I was leaving. Well, of course, left my grandmother, but then I had my mother, you know. And after a few months, I got, we took an apartment. They had, so we're on Lexington and 73rd Street, and it was a four family kind of a flat affair. And so then we brought my grandmother up there, with us, so it was the three of us again. And we went on.
Now, you had, you're saying, I want to backtrack. In fact, let me go back to Geneva for a minute to ask a couple of questions that I haven't asked you. I wanted to ask you, as a child growing up, it sounded like from what you're saying that you spent a lot of time indoors. Did you ever get involved in anything, say, in outdoor kinds of things?
Oh, well, it depended on the group of friends that I had. You know, we might decide to do something. I never was in, well, you know, they had cliques back in those days, like they do always, and I never was in with the upper crust. In fact, we didn't have real rich families, very many. At least they didn't seem like that much different from us. But of course, there was a group that you know, or the well, I don't know how to explain it, but their families were more prominent, you know, and they never thought they were a little bit different than the rest of us. But it, as I remember, that never bothered me all that much. I had my own group, and we didn't care what they there were about six girls that I was real friendly. We did a lot of things together. As I say, we didn't feel the need that you had to have a boyfriend to be in, you know, and all that. And
what kind of clothing did you wear?
Well, clothes never worried me all that much. And my grandmother and my mother were both excellent seamstresses. And so they, they made most of my things, one or the other of them.
Mm-hmm. And you know, dresses?
Or? Yeah, oh yeah, dresses. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And for, of course, for my nice clothes, my mom would take me up to Cleveland and buy something in one of the big, nice big stores. I remember I had a blue velvet dress that I just loved. It was my... I wore that till it was threadbare.
Yeah.
Yes, and...
Did you, growing up, did your mother ever tell you about menstruation before you started?
Well, as I remember, I knew about it because I saw her, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
But she didn't tell me a lot. I just knew it was something that would happen to me pretty soon, and it did, and that was...
So you did have a sense that was going to happen?
Yeah. But we didn't talk about it much. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember the day that you started?
It was my first day in the seventh grade. Excuse me, I've got to let my dog out.
Okay. So you were saying it was your first day of seventh grade. Yeah. Did you go home or anything?
Well, I can't really remember. I guess I think that it just started out kind of slow, and I think I probably didn't discover it until I got home.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't so. But that always was an aggravation to me. I hated it.
Did your mother talk to you at all about it then, at that time, or?
Well, not as what it meant or anything particularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have any idea of, was it just something that happened? Or?
Yeah, that was just something you had to put up with.
Did she talk to you at all about boys or dating?
Well,
or?
I don't know, growing up wasn't such a big deal back in those days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I see Lynn and all she has to do, bring up... kids. I mean, we just kind of grew, and
mm-hmm.
I think those people had the same problems, naturally, that they do now, but they just didn't assume such proportions in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did she ever talk to you about sex, or
well,
childbirth, or anything like that?
We didn't talk very much. It wasn't that... I don't know, it just didn't seem necessary, and I didn't know too much about childbirth when my uncle married, and they had a little boy, and let's see, Bob was about 10 years younger than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember Irene and I both, we could hear... we heard our folks talking about, we knew somebody was going to have a baby,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't know who, and she was wondering if it was her mother, I was wondering if it was my mother. all that was kind of vague, but it didn't seem to make much difference.
mm-hmm. So you, when you were staying at, this is like a boarding house in Cleveland?
Yeah, we just ate over there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And even after we got the apartment for a while, why, Mom and I still go over there and get our supper, and then we'd bring back Gramps' supper.
Mm-hmm.
We had a basket, and the lady'd fill it up, you know, the dishes we'd take it home for Gram until we got... I think that wasn't for a great, very long time, but...
Mm-hmm.
And... I met my husband there, and I think he was living there. She also had a lot of boarders. It was kind of a big house she had.
So you went to work for the
Telephone Company? Yeah, the Ohio Bell Telephone Company.
Was that after you had already met husband-to-be?
No, I went to work soon, about two weeks after I got to Cleveland. I went to work there, and there was a little period in there for.
Mm-hmm. When you went to work for the phone company, what were your...
That was back when you said number please, you know, and all that bit.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, they were just starting to cut Cleveland over to dial. They had two dial stations. In a big city like that, the telephone company wasn't just all in one place. They had, each telephone number was prefixed by a name like Maine and Cherry and different numbers like that. And of course, each name was a separate building all over. They were all over town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my exchange was Pennsylvania Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And happened to be that was within walking distance of where I live, so I could walk back and forth to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a small one. I'm sure some of them were larger. Maybe the downtown ones were probably larger exchanges, but I'd say, kind of. They had three shifts, of course, and I'd say there were probably about 30 people working on one shift, maybe even more. And it was very interesting work. And of course, was that you had all your block up here with all your jacks, you know, for your local numbers. But then somebody called in, say, I was in the Pennsylvania. If they wanted a Pennsylvania number, well, I could just plug it in my block. But if you wanted Randolph something, well, then we had to go through the V-board to the Randolph Exchange. And we had a row of trunks along here, and they'd plug it in, and they'd say, Pennsylvania so-and-so, and then they would plug it up in their board.
Mm-hmm.
And they had A operators, and they had B operators. And also, then if you're a B operator, well, you were just taking those incoming calls from the different exchanges and mm-hmm. putting them up on your board.
Is there a difference in status between the two?
No, you started out as an A operator, and then when you got so you could do that, well, then they break in as a B operator, so you could go on either board.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had intercepting operators if it was a number. We sat along a big table with all these big books, and somebody called in a number that had been disconnected with. They'd plug it into intercepting, and we'd pick it up over there, and they'd tell the number they wanted, and we'd haul down one of these books and tell them what the number had been changed to or had been disconnected or something like that.
Were
so,
these all women?
Yeah, they were all women.
Uh-huh.
The repair, and of course they had, I'm sure, a repairman around to fix anything that was...
Mm-hmm. Was your supervisor a woman?
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with that job?
Well, I looked in the want ads in the paper, and they were advertising for help.
Mm-hmm.
So they accepted me, and we had to, they trained us for 2 weeks. I remember we had to learn. They had certain things. You say number, please, and we had certain answers we were supposed to give. We weren't just supposed to carry on conversation with anybody. You know, we had certain stock answers for everything. Of course, we hadn't learned all that, and they give us a little voice training. I mean, you know, on how we were supposed to say number, please, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite interesting. I liked it.
How much did they pay?
Well, I can't remember now. But it was, I suppose they'd had a minimum wage then. Well, it would probably been,
mm-hmm.
you know, comparable to what.
Mm-hmm.
I know I thought I was making pretty good. I'm sure it wasn't very much, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with what Mama was making, we were able to pay our rent and get along. So, you know, we weren't